Okay, just want to pick that one. I want to pick up the phone. You know. So where do you suggest? Okay.
Are having and we are sharing the same information that they are also going to be sharing. We also do have in our midst the chairperson of the Joint Management Joint Monitoring Committee, used to Joint Management and Security related. Comrade Velma, Nivold. And we also have here with us a number of youth formations, youth institutions, youth desk in the presidency, and it's quite unfortunate that members of parliament, they seem not to have so much interest in this matter, that they are not here, except for the official opposition, that is DA. We don't have anybody else from other parties, including the ANC, I must also mention. Then there comes Anas. From the ANC. We have a program in front of ourselves that has been emailed through to all of us. If any of us did not receive the program in good time, our profuse apology. I guess that calls on all of us from today onwards to be really alert and in terms of checking our emails from time to time, because that seems to be the only way that we are communicating. Of course, we will have to check whether people have received, just to be sure that yes, the emails did go through. Now, I'm mentioning that because one of the presenters for today did not receive their, or did not read their email. I'm not too sure whether it is any sign of things to come for the Congress of the People, because unfortunately they are not going to be here today for that same reason that they did not read or receive their email. We are then going to adjust our program for tomorrow to accommodate them. As I said, I'm not too sure whether it is any indication of things to come for them. I'm not too sure. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you are welcome. We're meeting as per the 23rd of September Parliament resolution that called for an establishment of an ad hoc committee to consider legislation on National Youth Development Agency. We are in that process. We have engaged in the past. We are now continuing that process. Today and tomorrow we're going to be considering submissions from youth organizations, formations, institutions and people in their personal capacities who have shown interest in this matter that we're dealing with. And I must also congratulate you all in those categories for the interest showed and displayed. We have received over 30 submissions in this regard. As I said, from institutions and formations and organizations, from government and private, and also from young people in this country are still very, very alive and kicking. The interest showed here says it all. Without really wasting any further time, once again, as I said, I do apologize that we are starting late. We are not going to waste any further time. We shall call upon a person from the presidency who shall have to introduce himself or herself, and then we take it from there. Thank you. Okay, can we adopt a move that says all presenters must come and be here for the day? They ignore themselves if you don't mind whilst our Leonard friend from the presidency is coming through. Others can also just join, just for you, for us all to be able to identify all of you. Thanks. You know yourself better than we do. Thanks, Chair. I'm just testing how safe this chair is. It's public works. Okay. No, thanks, Chairperson. And good morning to colleagues. My name is Busani Ngaweni. I chair the government task team that was set up at the beginning of this year to look at the issues related to effecting the mandate of establishing the National Youth Development Agency. In the task team, and apologies, Chair, copies of these inputs are being made for circulation, and these copies are classified as a draft because they've been to the cabinet committee, and this Wednesday they are going to cabinet, so we can quote it as a draft because cabinet, full cabinet on Wednesday may amend as it so considers fit to do so. The task team that was set up earlier this year consists of the Presidency, Department of Public Service and Administration, National Treasury, Department of Labor, as well as the two institutions concerned, which is the National Youth Commission and the Umsobomvu Youth Fund. And the task of the task team was a not so difficult one. It was to consider all the administrative processes that are inherent when you merge two public institutions, in this case the Umsobomvu Youth Fund, which is a Section 21 company, as well as the National Youth Commission, which is classified, I think, under the PFMA as a schedule, I think it's a Schedule 2, Schedule 3 in the PFMA. Now, these institutions had specific mandates. And in terms of our reading of the task at hand was to merge the two institutions. And we did some desktop assessment of why this had to happen and how it had to happen. And there were two critical issues, Chair, that we have identified as well as confirmed. One is in relation to the problem statement. Why merge the two institutions? Firstly, you wish to incorporate these institutions, having noted some of the limitations in what these institutions did. And the limitations were as a result of a range of issues, such as the mandates of these institutions. You'll note that in the case of Umsobomvu Youth Fund, for an example, there is no Umsobomvu Youth Fund Act. So the what how UMSOBOVU was established is you make reference to the Demutualization and Levies Act, where a paragraph mentions UMSOBOVU Youth Fund. And that paragraph talks about how the money out of the demutualization levy was to be used. So it says that money was to be set aside to set up UMSOBOVU Youth Fund. So over 800 million rand was collected through that levy, and the money was then used to set up UMSOBOVU Youth Fund. And then you fast forward to the budget vote of the Minister of Finance, as well as the outcomes of the job summit, which then spoke about, you know, setting up UMSOBOVU Youth Fund. So what it means is there was no legal instrument, like in an act of parliament, that in fact established UMSOBOVU Youth Fund. And that did have some negative consequences, you know, in the process as UMSOBOVU was rolling out its program. Some people do argue, as we were doing our assessment, that as a result of a lack of a legal instrument, UMSOBOVU Youth Fund, by and large, was left to regulate itself, in inverted commas, because in the case of the National Youth Commission, there is a National Youth Commission Act which, by and large, regulates the activities of the Youth Commission. And this self-regulation, there are some examples, albeit anecdotal, some are in fact documented. You may be aware that in 2007, for an example, UMSOBOVU Youth Fund took a decision to extend their mandate to fund women over the age of 35, while UMSOBOVU was set up to support young people. And some people then interpreted that as a sign of self-regulation, because if there was an act of parliament stipulating that thou shall serve people not over the age of 35, some people argue that will not have happened, especially when there are still moral arguments about whether UMSOBOVU Youth Fund has exhausted its mandate of funding people under the age of 35. And then in 2007, they took a decision to fund people over and above. And that was not an executive decision. It was within UMSOBOVU Youth Fund as well as their board making such a decision. So that's one of the weaknesses. In the Youth Commission case, there are weaknesses inherent even in their own legislation. The National Youth Commission is currently a watchdog within the executive. That's what it said. If you look at the object of the Youth Commission, Section 3 of the National Youth Commission Act, basically it makes the National Youth Commission a watchdog within the executive. That has got its own constraints and limitations. And you'll note also that the work of the Youth Commission, in as far as Parliament is concerned, was the work that was governed or regulated by, in fact, the Joint Monitoring Committee. And there are some arguments about whether a joint monitoring committee will have the same teeth as will be any other portfolio committee in Parliament for that matter, and whether the JMC will look at performance indicators or it will look at organizational issues and whether the institution was operating or not. And then fast forward to 2007, again in terms of the Youth Commission Act, the Parliament last year set up an ad hoc committee to look at the Chapter 9 and related institutions. It made some findings with regard to the National Youth Commission Act. One, that committee argued that the Youth Commission has a mandate to implement, whereas over the years the Youth Commission has been arguing that it does not have the mandate to implement. And in the object of the National Youth Commission Act, Section 3, it is not clear whether that extends its mandate to implementation. So even that contestation as to whether or not they should have implemented created problems for the institution in terms of how it rolled out its own program. But also our assessment noted and in fact confirmed some of the challenges with regards to the programs implemented by these institutions. One, some of these the programs that were implemented were too small to be able to reach scale and go to where young people are. So in the main, they were concentrated in urban areas, but there is history to it, so you cannot divorce why they did that with the history of South Africa, that the capacity and the resources are largely concentrated in urban areas. That is why you will find the UMSOBOVU Youth Fund having more activities in Gauteng,
Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal, then it would on largely rural provinces, because they will rely on third parties to implement their services. And where there is no capacity of third parties, then those provinces will suffer in the process. So we did validate that point, that in fact there are problems in terms of rate.
Can I just disturb you, Mr. Ngaweni? In the interest of time, and I also don't want to be unfair to the rest of others who are still going to come, we have, sorry that I did not mention this from the word go, we have 15 minutes for each of the presenters. So if you don't mind keeping within that limit, as you have only 4 minutes left, sorry.
Well, Chair, in the email that I read, as I did read mine, fortunately, it said I'm presenting from 9:05 to 9:35. It is the email address, so I'll try and move as quickly as possible. Well, we did also, note a variety of the limitations in these institutions, and those limitations, in fact, then proved to us that there is a need for integrating or consolidating these services of these institutions. In our view, this is not about destroying the two existing institutions, but it's about combining the capacities and the expertise that exist in the interest of accelerated service delivery, as well as in the interest of reaching young people wherever they are in South Africa. We have started a few administrative processes, such as commissioning a due diligence process. Now, due diligence is important to the extent that we need to understand what the assets and liabilities are of these institutions, because in our view, the resources or the assets of these institutions will serve as a baseline for the National Youth Development Agency. We are also looking at issues of what liabilities exist in the two institutions. We know, for example, the National Youth Commission recently moved into a new building, and they signed a lease in that building, and those things have got financial implications. But the main preoccupation of government is, how do you set up a national youth development agency that is effective, that is accountable, that implement programs at scale and programs with bigger impact? So the lessons from Umsobomvu Youth Fund and the Youth Commission are being taken into consideration, so that we do not transfer old inefficiencies onto the new agents, because that will create problems. And the inefficiencies, as I have identified, will include issues such as, how does the legislation clearly indicate what the objects of the agency are, what the activities are, and how do we then link that with the National Youth Police? Because we believe that if you merge the two without looking at what hampered service delivery in the preceding institutions, you will then cripple the new institutions with the problems of the old institutions. And finally, Chair, it is our view that this mess has got wide-ranging implications for provinces, and therefore consideration should be given by this committee to extending the public hearings into the province, especially because in this period students are writing exams, and also a lot of young people may wish to be here, but with the constraint of resources, they are unable to be here. In our assessment, there is a consensus that the agency must happen as soon as it is legally and logistically possible, so that it has been established. The issue is, how then do you finalize what the agency is going to do, as well as the structure of the agency. And we don't divorce this process from the adoption of the National Youth Policy. Thank you.
Thank you. Sunny. I tell you that we are going to take three such presentations before we take questions or comments. Okay, are we fine with that? Thank you for that. I guess you are going to remain where you are. We'll then hand over to South African Council of Churches Youth Forum, Mr. Viani Pule.
Thank you, Chairperson of the session. Friends, we responded to the call that has been made with regard to the development of the National Youth Development Agency Bill. And in our response to the bill and the draft that has been made, our submission is that in terms of the bill that has been, in terms of the draft that has been made, there are a number of key areas which we have identified, and there are a number of issues in those particular areas which we felt that somehow, in our view as a youth forum, when this is drafted and it's finalized, whatever, it should reflect certain areas which we felt that historically some of these factors have been such that they must be able to address the core needs and the core objectives that directly affects and that directly impacts on youth themselves. And in terms of the aims, our submission is that the aim of the bill should be able to identify skills development and ensure that there is access for young people to a number of opportunities, you know, entrepreneurial opportunities, and ensuring that it creates a better life necessarily for young people. And it addresses a number of social issues for young people. And those social issues should be able to put young people at a much advantageous level and area to ensure that young people benefit, young people become better people, you know, in life. But then in terms of the board, in terms of the structure of the National Youth Development Agency itself, we felt that given the fact that historically we have had the National Youth Commission and the Umsobomvu Youth Fund existing. And the Umsobomvu Youth Fund has been existing based on, it was a sort of a business model, you know. And the National Youth Commission was a, you know, policy advocacy structure in government. And when we merge the two structures, we should be able to still advance the interests of young people themselves. And as a result of that, we still need to have a structure that is very, very importantly interact directly with the interests of young people themselves. And as a, you know, as part of that deal, our proposition was that rather let us have a committee of some sort, even if we have a council, you know. Our submission is that I don't know exactly, you know, the committee, where did they do their research and so forth, you know. Probably they are here and they'll be able to clarify us as we interact now. But then when we look at the model of in Australia, when we look at Namibia, for instance, has a ministry on youth affairs. But then in Australia has a inter-ministerial council that deals with education, that deals with empowerment, and that has a youth affairs, you know, into it. And our submission is that we should also here in South Africa have something like a council that is going to take care of all of these particular aspects that relate directly to youth activities and youth affairs. And it should be able to be a council that is going to be on training and development, on business, and generally that will deal with specific youth affairs into it. And this particular structure itself should be able to be, it should interact directly with the core stakeholders. Because our view is that within the structure there should be stakeholders. And obviously the stakeholders will be young people, you know. Whether it's young people as individuals, whether it's young people as organizations, submission. And the part of the stakeholders, one thing that we have learned, I think some of us were in a meeting, I think the Department of Arts and Culture, I'm saying in terms of, you know, how sure we are, they have a youth directorate which was formulated, I think, this year, April or something. I don't know about other government ministries as to which extent have they been able to, you know, take youth issues into interest, you know, in as far as establishing youth directorates. And each and every ministry should be able to have a youth directorate. And that particular youth directorate should formulate part of the core stakeholders of this council on youth affairs. That's part of the NYPA, you know. And underneath that, we should not have the CEO, we should not have the management team as per the bill is proposing, and we should not even adopt a particular model. But a particular model that is business orientated, that is trying to influence the structure to be some entity somewhere aside, an entity that is not necessarily accountable and taking youth interest into consideration. And obviously, when we are having such kind of a structure, the structure should be able to deal with all the issues from the level of government all the way downwards, you know, exist from national, exist provincially, and exist even in the local municipalities. That is our submission. That the structure should be able to engage, you know, nationally, provincially, and locally, you know, in all municipalities, engage with youth interests, you know, in all those levels. That is our submission. But then, further to that, we are proposing that this should be moved away from the presidency. You know, it's difficult for us really to try to establish exactly why are we locating the National Youth Development Agency in the presidency. And as per our proposition, if we are able to establish youth directorates in every ministry and establish a council of some sort that will be able to interact directly with parliament, that will be able to... It should be created in such a way that there are portfolio committees, we have the youth executive councils, and we will still have the executive itself. As to how it is appointed, we can still establish in terms of the executives, they are nominated, there is a process of nomination. You win the nomination, then you get into the executive. Then we formulate a youth executive council. We have the Interministerial Committee on Youth Development in as far as the National Youth Development Agency is concerned. From there, we should still have the portfolio committee. And the portfolio committee, in terms of the structure, should be able to engage directly with the core stakeholders. In this instance, it's youth themselves, directly or indirectly. It's youth, whether they are individuals, whether it's youth in business, whether it's young people, in terms of organized structures. And then from there, in terms of the functions, we are proposing that primarily as per the bill, I think it's section 6 in the proposed bill, the structure should still be able to implement and drive policy positions that are proposed to and aimed at advancing and making lives of young people better. And then in as far as the control management and management of affairs of the agency, we will still have a portfolio committee within the structure that should still be able to engage on a day-to-day basis with the affairs, the implementations, the programs of young people themselves. And somehow we should be able to move it away from the presidency, that is our view, be able to have a much more inclusive kind of a structure, and the structure should be able to engage on a day-to-day basis with needs of young people and advancing the objectives stipulated and the mandate given to the executive by youth organization. And it should be able to, because our view is that we have not been able to have a structure. I mean, when you look at the National Youth Commission, the National Youth Commission necessarily does not directly, historically has not been able to directly interact with youth organizations. You know, we had the Youth Commission that is appointed by the president, the executive, in their roles, you know, as enacted in the 1998 Act. They advance policy positions, you know, they conduct advocacy in terms of policy on behalf of young people, but they are not necessarily directly interacting with young people to identify needs, to identify interests, and so forth. So if we are having a structure of the National Youth Development Agency, it should be able to be a structure that interacts directly with young people themselves in any organized forms or unorganized forms, you know, and still be able to be accountable to that particular structure or organization, you know, of young people themselves, you know. Unlike what we had previously had, because it was difficult to directly have a structure that interacts directly with young people in any organized form, as far as we are concerned. Therefore, the Youth Development Agency should be able to be a structure that will directly interact, and it should be able to be a structure that directly get the mandate inputs and advance the particular interests of young people themselves, you know. But we should be able to say this structure itself should be able to have its own time, like any other department, because we know that as per democratic processes, we elect into government after each and every 4 years, if I'm not mistaken. But we still have to have this particular youth structure that will be able to last for that particular term or period, you see. And this structure should still be able to be, to reflect and be able to represent members and young people who are organized in their own way, and members and young people who should be at the center in terms of the mandate, the interests, and so forth is concerned. So the functions as per Section 6 should still be implemented and be relevant, but then the structure itself, and that is one thing that we want to emphasize at the Youth Forum, that the structure itself should be changed. And such kind of structure should exist in provinces and to be determined on how other youth structures should exist also in district municipalities, in metros, and even in local municipalities. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. That was Vianney Pule from SACC Youth Forum. Those who have just joined us, you are all welcome. We started late at 9:30 because of confusion of venue. Without waste of time again, we'll go straight to Mr. Lucas Maho, from the Free State Youth Commission. We are taking all this and then trusting that everybody is making notes, because just before we break, we will have to engage on all of the presentations. Thank you. Is there somebody from Free State Youth Commission? Can you switch off your mic, Mr. Pule? Thanks. Free State is not here. We will not waste time. We will go straight to Azapo Youth Desk. Am I correct? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members present, colleagues, and the leaders from the other youth structures. On behalf of the Youth Desk, Chair of the Albanian People's Organization, we wish to thank the committee for the opportunity to come and share our perspective on this very important bill. And the presentation, as I can see, is being distributed. We did forward to the committee the word format thereof. The document that is being distributed now is a PowerPoint format thereof. And the initial presentation, Chair, with your indulgence, was prepared given the time allocated. However, out of respect for your ruling and in the interest of time, I will try to keep within the time that you have allocated for today's presentation. And therefore, we'll skip some of the slides as colleagues here present have the presentation in front of them. And we'll really concentrate mainly on the substance of the presentation, which is the actual proposals we wish to make on this bill. However, just before we come to that, we just wish to share a few observations that were made by the ad hoc committee on the review of Chapter 9 and related institutions, particularly with regards to the National Youth Commission, which informed our presentation. They made some of the following findings: that one, the National Youth Commission has not reported on government compliance with its international obligations regarding to youth development. Two, that despite having developed a national youth development policy, it took them some time to get the policy adopted. And that three, its interaction with civil society wasn't sufficiently structured. Four, it had limited resources and viewed itself as an advisory body and not an implementing agency, a point which was made by the earlier presenter. It had limited interaction with Parliament, a point which was also tacitly made by the presenter from the presidency. Youth development initiatives occurred haphazardly within state departments. One of the reasons one suspects is because not all state departments have got youth directorates. Many of the critical state departments either have a youth desk or they just have some ad hoc function allocated to youth development. And most state departments reduce youth development issues to skills development. The other observation they made is that there's also considerable overlap between the functions of the National Youth Commission and those of the youth desk in the presidency. They came to this conclusion, to quote, that based on these observations, the committee concluded that as it is formed currently, the National Youth Commission doesn't serve its purpose in terms of that report on the Chapter 9 institutions. Based on that and our own observations as well, which I won't really share in the interest of time, we just wish to state, just like the colleague from the Church Forum, we also do not think just in terms of effectiveness and efficiency, it may be prudent to have the agency housed in the presidency. I don't have to speak about its performance under the presidency over the past 14 years. I think it speaks for itself. We are of the view that the country should consider the establishment of a national youth ministry, which will, amongst others, look at children's rights, which we think have not received sufficient attention, and relate that to also have a specific focus on gender and the rights of the disabled under one ministry. That is something that we can consider as a country for the future, and we think under such an arrangement, we would not be having the current process that we are having now, where we have to amalgamate institutions which would have ordinarily functioned very well had they been housed elsewhere. However, Chair and Honourable Members present, we make the point that under the current configuration of the state, the NDA could be housed under the Ministry of Sport and Recreation. It is normal practice even on our own continent where you have youth development lumped with sport and recreation. And we do think it would receive greater attention if housed under that ministry. Some people might argue it should go to social development, because the Department of Social Development also does a lot of work in a youth development. Well, it's a debate we can engage in, but we think it would be better served and serviced under sport and recreation. And accordingly, therefore, if this goes through, it goes without saying, just as a matter of procedure, that all reference to the president in the bill will then change to the minister, in our view. Coming to the specific sections, in section one, we propose that, in line with the point made earlier, that president be replaced with minister, and we also insert member of the executive council, which is NEC, we will elaborate on that later. In terms of section three, which speaks to the objects of the bill, we also make a proposal that there should also be a clause that speaks to, under section 3F, educational development, because we just think that disproportionate emphasis on skills development, youth entrepreneurship, but education does not seem to receive the attention that we think it should receive. And then also in line with what is proposed in H, in terms of the bill, section 3H, where it says it speaks to the Intergovernmental Framework Act of 2005, which we propose the other, in terms of an amendment of the specific act or a new act, that the state considers a situation where all state departments should have national youth directorates, and it becomes obligatory. As things stand now, state departments are not compelled to have youth directorates, which is why you had some of the challenges with regards to implementation that the Youth Commission experienced. In terms of Section 4 of the bill, which stipulates that the agency will operate in a transparent and accountable manner, in practice, we are just having a question, how will this be ensured in practice? Because there have been numerous cases where, perhaps some, to some extent through no fault of their own, the Youth Commission in particular, its legitimacy in the eyes of other youth structures was questioned, particularly because not everybody was of the view that they operated in a transparent and accountable manner. Under Section 4, once again, we also suggest that we also look at inserting two clauses. One clause that speaks to the moral development of young people. We think that should be a principle in the bill, that there should be an emphasis on moral development. I know there's perhaps a understandable obsession with business development, but for us, moral development is also critical, and a principle of nation building as well. Because this is a public sector institution, we think it must not give young people the impression that they are doing this for themselves or for the organizations they represent, that they are doing this for the nation. And their involvement in this structure, directly or indirectly, should be seen as part of nation building. And under Section 5, accordingly, we propose the replacement of the insertion, rather, of minister instead of, as proposed, the president. And then Section 6.1, we also propose the insertion of a clause that speaks to educational development, a point which we made earlier. Section 6, Subsection 4, insert a clause that makes it obligatory for the agency to have at least two national general councils of national youth organizations within 1 year. The rationale for that is a point which was made by a colleague earlier, that we don't want the structure to necessarily just be a typical state agency and has no connection or accountability to young people. Young people should have the opportunity to both evaluate but also make an input to the program of the agency. Section 7, subsection A, the integrated youth development strategy, there we say the wording should just be changed there. The phrase must should be included. I think the wording in the bill is may. It gives some leeway. We think it must be must so that it becomes more forceful. Section 8, subsection A, replace determine with execute. We also are of the view that the board should not be in a position to determine policy, because our understanding is that in the bill itself, the policy shall already have been crafted and articulated, and their responsibility shall be to execute or implement instead of determine. What they could, however, determine are basic day-to-day work procedures. Section 9, which speaks to the composition, appointment, and conditions of service of the board. We are of the view that all board directors must conclude a written performance agreement. This is a public sector institution, and we think whoever is employed there must have some kind of contractual obligation to perform at a specific level, and nobody should come in and think their performance won't be evaluated against something. Section 16, which is the appointment of staff, it speaks to the point made earlier that all staff who work for the agency must have a performance agreement. It is normal practice in all state institutions, from the lower to the higher level, that everybody who works for the state or its entities concludes a performance agreement. Section 20, subsection A, subsection 1A, the provincial boards. There we are proposing that the agency must, in consultation with the MEC for Sport and Recreation, this is consistent with the proposal made earlier, and relevant civil society organizations, appoint a management of the board. You would recall in the bill says at provincial level, the premier should be the person that plays the key role. We are not necessarily of that view, that the premier should be the person who is given that kind of power in terms of the bill. And then under section 21, subsection 2, the local coordinators, this is also a welcome proposal, which we are welcoming, because previously we also had a situation where, if you would recall, municipalities, currently, not all municipalities necessarily have got youth desks or youth development structures, and because it's not obligatory also in terms of legislation for them to do that, perhaps it's not wise to blame them for not doing that, but if it's inserted in legislation as it's being done here, it's appreciated. And consistent with what we are proposing, even at the local level, that in each province, we propose that in consultation with the relevant mayor and civil society organizations, appoint local coordinators, I beg your pardon. That, Chairperson, concludes our input. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mbele, or Mr. Mbele.
The latter.
Lest we call you some things or things that are different to what and who you are. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we've just heard all the three presentations. And again, trusting that we all did take notes. What we shall allow now is an engagement on those three presentations from members of parliament, as the rule says. Okay? Any questions? We've had somebody from the presidency, somebody else from SACC, and just now we heard somebody from Azapo. The floor is open. Mr. Swater? Noted. Only members are you adding?
Excuse me, I just wanted to request something. If we are having any resources in which I think we should be getting all of those copies, like the presentation
will
from
you
our...
talk through to one of the committee people, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Are you calling from an organization?
Yes.
Which one?
SACC is for us.
No. You want to raise a question? Okay, we only have one question from Mr. Sutton.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Mpoele Swade from the Democratic Alliance. I've got only one question, and also I'll seek also clarity from the SACCF regarding the question that they've just indicated that they don't prefer the National Youth Development Agency to be housed under the presidency. But when they were actually giving their presentation, they didn't exactly indicate exactly where they wanted this committee actually to be housed. So I just want to know exactly where are they want to locate this institution, because it must be housed somewhere and it must actually account somewhere. And also in the presidency, that's where actually most of the ministries actually are coming together. So I just want to find out from them exactly why, what are they meaning when they say that actually they don't think it is going to be good for this to be housed under the presidency. Thank you very much.
Mr. Senivot.
I just want to add to the Honourable Swati's question. I'm not as clear as well exactly why you don't want it within the presidency. Can you just give us more clarity on that issue, please? And that was on the second presenter. Thank you.
May we have responses from SACC and also ZAPO?
Thank you, Chairperson, for the question. Our view is that, having a national youth development agency under the presidency would still reduce it to redundancy, if, for lack of better words, to put it that way. Our view is that, in fact, we should be able to locate it, even if it's in the Ministry of Education, because the Ministry of Education is capacitated enough to deal with issues that relate to young people themselves. But then the model that is going to take place, if you place it within the presidency, it would still, not be able to function effectively as and when it is required in terms of dealing with issues of young people themselves, you see. And historically, that is what we've been able to experience, even with the National Youth Commission. You know, they are located within the presidency, they are just there in the presidency, but what is it exactly that they are doing? Because our view as a colleague from Azapo has elaborated, is that necessarily we are even supposed to have a fully fledged ministry itself, unlike having a youth development agency located somewhere else within a particular ministry, you see. And it's dealing with a number of very, very serious and important issues that relate to young people, you see. And having it located within the presidency, yeah, like what we have been able to experience with the National Youth Commission itself, reduces it to redundancy. I hope I've done justice to the question. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chair, and thanks for the question. Well, I wanted to just add and give our rationale. First, the youth development portfolio requires an activist minister. I know sometimes, as the case has been, we are mainly preoccupied with implementation and coordination. But if one looks at the size and the challenges that young people face, but also if you look at young people as a proportion of the population and their participation in some of the antisocial behavior that we are trying to correct, you can't have it housed, in our view, in the presidency, which has got so much on its plate. to start with, you know, not just nationally, but even the international work that the presidency does on behalf of the country. And we honestly think under a separate ministry, sport, as we are proposing, it will receive greater attention there, because what seemed to have lacked in our own observation is the attention that it had received. Because while you had the National Youth Commission, Umsobomvu, within the presidency, you also had the presidential desk and the presidential working group, which was doing, by and large, a similar function. And from time to time, it was not clear who is doing what.
Ladies and gentlemen, I must say to you that, you know, one of the organizations that I love in this country is called the Democratic Alliance. You know, when they really get into power, you really get to feel them that they are in power, and they sweep clean. My profuse apology that I did not include them as we're going through, I have nothing against you. We'll come back to you. Sorry about that. Mrs. Tobias Pokolo?
First, I need to apologize. I thought the meeting was starting at 10. So I was in the office. I might have missed one presentation. I think the question of the residence of the agency in the presidency is not responded to adequately. If people say it shouldn't be there because it will be redundant, it's not enough. Maybe we should have a better argument why you believe it should not be there. And I will want to explain what people perceive as failure of the Youth Commission. You see, we need to first look at what was the mandate of the Youth Commission. The National Youth Commission was there to monitor the implementation of youth development policies by government departments. It did not have the capacity. You can look at its budget, it tells you it all. You can look at its structural, its staff, how many members it has, its staff complement. In itself, it clarifies the limitations that it carried to implement. It had the capacity to do research and development. We should understand that very well. Because if people say it failed to do what? Now, the decision to have the Youth Commission being integrated with the Msobomvu Fund in one structure that will empower these two institutions to implement youth development is what has bore this piece of legislation that we are discussing today. So it is from that premise that we felt that we need to capacitate these two institutions to be in a position to implement youth development. Now, I'm going to speak as a former Special Development Program, because I used to work for the Free State Government and I was a person responsible for youth development. You see, if you say, there was a big discussion at that time that do you put FPO, which is the focal points, as people know them, do you put them in corporate services or do you put them in the MEC's office, of course under the jurisdiction of the head of the department, which is the DDG. It was a big discussion. Some will say, no, put it in corporate service, under a director of corporate service, of course, of which it's the powers that it will have to monitor the implementation of its development issues by government departments will be limited, because the FPO will have a leader who will report and do things on their behalf. Now, you had to empower it, and empowering it was to put it in the MEC's office, whereby it will sit in the management committees of departments and be part of decision-making processes. It was a battle that the young people fought for, and they won. It was difficult. Those who were gender focal persons at that time will know the process. Now, putting it in the presidency is to give it teeth. is to empower it to oversee all government departments, because there is no minister who can be a super minister over other ministers. That's how cabinet works. There will not be a minister who will tell his or her colleague what to do in terms of youth development in their respective departments. But the presidency can do so, because there are national priorities that are being set when the strategic planning is taking place. Therefore, the president can say these are the national priorities, and if youth development is one of them, all government departments will be obliged to follow those national priorities, because those will be your flagships. So we need to internalize what we're discussing, so that we should not just look at it and just want to see. Because if you say it should go to social development for argument's sake, when we talk about youth in tourism, how will social development deal with that? It's not within its land function to deal with tourism issues. If we talk about education, why will social development deal with those issues? Now, it's an overarching responsibility. And you might want to talk about the directorate. It does have a capacity more than just a directorate. We need to look at these issues with those broad... Well, somebody referred to the Chapter 9 Institutions report. That report is not an official report. You can't refer to it here. I don't know how was it distributed, because Parliament has not yet adopted that report. It's still a draft. We need to look at it, ratify it, then it should be debated in the House as a document of Parliament. Parties must make input then. For now, it's a draft. That's what it is. So it's got its own limitations in terms of how it assesses the work done by Chapter 9 institutions. And we should remember, those Chapter 9 institutions were not a Schedule 3 institutions. So there has certain limitations, especially this one that we're talking about, which is the National Youth Commission. Chair, some of the issues that has been raised, I don't want to debate on an issue to issue really. Issues of performance agreements, I think we'll take it as a proposal. Some of them, we have noted them, a lot of the proposals. When we debate clause by clause, I think we'll take into consideration those that have been debated. And I want to lastly talk on the issue of transparency. You know, the South African government is the most transparent system. I mean, if you can compare, whether you want to compare in the continent or the world over, there are countries that we don't really know how much is their budgets. To start with, and I'm talking about the big economies. I'm talking about economies where only their defense budget is what consists of our country's budget. They don't necessarily open up that much. We are a democratic institution. Therefore, these agents will follow the ethical standards that the country is following. We will have to be as transparent as possible. We will ensure it. We are playing an oversight role. If there is any institution that is not transparent, I think we will engage. There's an issue of a general council. Well, is it feasible financially to call all South African young people twice a year? Really? I don't think government departments can even afford to do that. I think it's an issue that we can look at, but we must think at the financial implications. Because general council to do what? Because if you have made inputs at the national convention, which I assume that the majority of young people in this country attended, why do you want to be twice a year, not once? Because I believe we will evaluate once. It will not make any impact. The issue is, what are you discussing and what type of decisions are you taking? Unless if you're already preempting failure, that the structure might not function properly and you will have to monitor it now and then. Well, there's different ways of doing that. I think the provisional components will come closer to the program implementation. The rest, I take them as some things that we need to look at. And Chair, your icon is not doing my silence a favor. You know, I might end up not being in a position to speak by the end of the day. So it's a little bit cold, so it affects my finances. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we have our technician here. He really gets to be everything. you know. We are not going to be tempted to debate the issues like Mrs. Tobias Pokolo has just started. We are still going to come to that point day after tomorrow when we engage, and also on Thursday when we engage in those deep-seated issues. I think for now all what we are seeking are clarity, seeking questions. Good points have been raised. When referring or rather responding to them, we shouldn't also be tempted to debate the issues. That's the call I would wish to make to all of you. As you respond, if any of you would wish to respond.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that we need to put a background and the basis of why are we having the National Youth Development Agency. And obviously, I think for all those reasons, we are having the National Youth Development Agency because UMSOBOMVU will cease to exist and the National Youth Commission will cease to exist. You know, and as a result, there is an amalgamation of some sort, and there is an emergence of a structure which we seek to establish in order to ensure that there is vibrancy and efficiency in as far as national youth issues are concerned, and in as far as having a youth structure within government, a youth structure that is very, very effective. And now, I mean, we have had the National Youth Commission existing within the presidency, you know, and they've been existing within the presidency just to monitor and what else, you know, and they've been able to go all out and defend themselves that our role is just to monitor, you know, but then because we are saying that we should have a structure that is emerging, a structure that will be able to, that is effective in implementing, in advancing youth interest and so forth is concerned, why should we still take back the same structure and locate it within the presidency, you know, when we can still be able to determine and to locate it somewhere else where we feel that this structure should still be effective in as far as all these issues are concerned, you know. And our view has been that we are having a youth structure, and this youth structure should be able to, for instance, if you are having as a portfolio committee on sports, portfolio committee on sports can interact directly with sports organizations, you know, as and when they like, you know. We have not historically have a youth organization that interacts directly with young people and raise their issues as and when they like, you know. A portfolio committee on sports can summon SACSOC to parliament and say, SACSOC, what are you doing with transformation? What are you doing with development? What are your targets and all that? You know, but we've not been able to have a youth structure within government that is interacting directly with youth organizations or young people in their any organized form. You know, and that is why we are proposing that we should be able to meet as constant as we could, whether we meet once or twice or whenever, but we should be able to meet as and when it is necessary. The youth structure within government that is going to be established, in this case is the agency, should be able to directly meet with young people and get advice, counsel on youth issues, you know, and be able to take those youth issues back, whether it's in parliament, and they are affected and enacted in any form, in any other form, you know. Government is always having imbeciles in order to determine as to whether are government programs effective, are they implemented in the manner in which they are aimed to, and in the manner in which they are supposed to benefit the people on the ground, you know. And the General Council itself should be able to do something similar to that, you know. You interact directly with young people, you get counsel from young people, and as far as young people are concerned. Thank you, Chef.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the risk of having to really, really exhaust the issues here and now, I think, as I said earlier on, let's avoid being tempted to engage in serious debate for now. All what we're asking for now, just question that clarity. We have also extended an invitation for the provincial youth commissions, not provincial youth commissions, but provincial legislatures that are dealing with youth matters. We also do have among ourselves here one of those from the Eastern Cape. She will introduce herself, and then she has a specific question. I'm coming from South Africa.
Thanks a lot, Honourable Chairperson, Mr. Johnson. Just a clarity.
Just introduce yourself.
Oh, yes. I am Hope Malchus, and I am the chairperson of the Committee Youth, Gender, Disabled, Elderly, and Children. And I'm also secretary of the Women's Caucus. The question that I would like to ask Azar was just clarity. Because I looked at the act ball itself. Why do they want to put in promote the intergovernmental framework when we already got organs of state and government do work according to intergovernmental relationships? Let's just answer that as a clarity. Thank you.
I tell you, that's the only last question before we take DA, and then we'll break thereafter.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Mrs. Malchasidis, for the question. If you could just refer to the particular slide from which you extracted the question. Slide number 11. Yeah. The one, okay, yeah. What we are saying there is either you look at an amendment of that specific act, you would also see, or we say introduce new legislation. The paragraph subsequent to that, I'm going to explain, that's what I'm elaborating on. The paragraph subsequent to that says to, amongst others, look at making it obligatory for all state institutions to have youth development directorates. So you'd look at that legislation because if state departments are going to work in the context of the intergovernmental framework and you want to propose new legislation that makes it compulsory for state institutions to be structured in a particular way, you would inevitably have to look at all corresponding legislation that speaks to how government institutions should interact. So it is, that was the rationale behind that proposal. Because the point we made earlier is that one of the challenges that the Youth Commission had to face, and credit has to be given to them, there were instances where the Youth Commission genuinely wanted to do certain things, but because of how state institutions are structured, for example, the DCI does not have a youth desk, you know, directorate, so to speak. They don't have a youth directorate, and they do so much critical work which relates to structures like Umsobomv. How do you interact with them if they are not structured? You know, and do you wait for them to structure themselves in order for you to roll out your programs? And when are they going to structure themselves if that thing is not made law? Because you can't talk about implementation and you don't talk about structure because they are not exclusive. How do you implement where structures are not clear, tasks are not clearly articulated? So that is the logic behind what we are proposing there.
Okay, thank you. All other questions that are still there, I'm sure they can all be taken, all of them, to Mr. Jordan Hill-Lewis. All of them that are still coming. You are going to be a Jesus in the summer round. Thank you.
Mr. Chairperson, let me say at the outset I was delighted to hear about your strong affections for my party. And I hope that in the future your strong affections blossom into love. But let me say thank you very, very much for the opportunity to address this committee today. It's a privilege for me to do so. My name is Jordan Hill Lewis, as you said, the Western Cape leader of the DA Youth. And I think it's a privilege because I believe that this is a bill that will surely come to be regarded as one of the most important initiatives undertaken by this committee during this past parliamentary term. At the outset, let me say, Chairperson, that the DA welcomes the legislation. Legislation which proposes the formation of a National Youth Development Agency, an agency which we believe will be far better positioned to address the variety of serious challenges that the youth of our country face than the two existing organizations. This agency must on principle be founded on inclusivity and should be focused on unlocking opportunities for youth to drive economic growth. We furthermore agree, Chairperson, that the Youth Development Agency should be located in the Presidency.
Once again?
Sure.
Do we have a presentation? I think we'll be looking at presentation number 16 on the... we're just trying to locate... You only have a Word presentation,
Yes, yeah.
Can we be guided as to where it is exactly?
I'm not entirely sure, Chairperson. I certainly wasn't asked to submit one by the Secretary who contacted me by email. So I'm not certain whether it's been supplied. I'll be happy to supply it after the...
This is the one that we have in front of ourselves.
That's the
if you don't mind having to reproduce this for the benefit of the rest of us. Yeah, but mine does not have three here. Okay. The copy is coming.
Are all members... Thanks very much, Chairperson. May I continue? Thanks very much. Chair, we also believe that the proposed National Youth Development Agency should be located in the Presidency for the purpose of oversight, regulation, and monitoring. We believe that there is a need for a new administration with a new vision and mission to fulfill the mandate of youth development in South Africa. The previous two entities under discussion, the Umsobumba Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission, according to both the Chapter 9 review and strong public perception, Chairperson, have failed and therefore must be disbanded. It's our belief that the Presidency should give political leadership, that Parliament should deliver oversight, and that the National Youth Development Agency should implement its particular programs and policies, and that the Development Agency should get its budget from the Presidency for these programs. Furthermore, the process of establishing the National Youth Development Agency needs to be open and transparent, and give opportunities to all youth, irrespective of political organization and race, to have input. It should be based on the model of the Open Opportunity Society, so that all the youth of South Africa feel welcome and included in the process. There will be no viable national integrated youth development strategy that succeeds as long as young people are categorized and isolated according to race and other arbitrary divisions. Indeed, sir, the failure of the Umsobumba Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission can be traced, among other things, to division caused by basing all programs on a particular connection to the ruling party rather than an openness to all young people and all young South Africans to participate. We also believe, sir, that the focus was had an urban bias, that it was based mainly in Gauteng, the Western Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal, and that rural areas were, to the large part, neglected. The two institutions, the Umsobumba Youth Fund and National Youth Commission, were also not visible enough in their efforts to address youth problems. Currently, a majority of young people are still battling with high rates of unemployment, HIV, drug abuse, skill shortages, and crime. And these challenges were not adequately or sufficiently addressed by the two organizations. The majority of young people are simply tired and fed up with institutions which promise many things but deliver little. Also, they are not aware that their mandate is to create a conducive environment that can develop and empower young people in a sustainable manner. This task or this mandate is neither known or understood by the young people of South Africa. Essentially, Chairperson, these two organizations were supposed to operate as youth political lobbies, but did not successfully do so. The policies, programs, and structures have been developed, but still those structures do not reach the youth of South Africa and do not achieve the necessary development. Programs and enabling legislation aimed at addressing the problems and challenges are not implemented, and the appointment of personnel and leadership were not done on merit, causing problems in the two organizations to escalate to the point of where they could no longer effectively operate. The South African government has adopted several youth-focused legislative and policy frameworks, such as the National Youth Commission Act, the National Youth Policy 2000, and the National Youth Development Policy Framework 2002 to 2007. These pieces of legislation and policies are good and firmly outline institutional arrangements for youth development and further outlined the country's perspective on how delivery of services for young people is supposed to occur. But, Chairperson, the problem is how we implement those. The right people with qualifications and skills were not employed or appointed to do so, and as a result, we today consider disbanding those two organizations. The new Youth Development Agency must have structures and members in provinces, Premier's Office and municipalities, as well as Mayor's Offices. They must be visible, effective, and efficient in addressing all youth matters. The new proposal should be well capacitated to challenge or influence other government departments to implement all youth policies. It should influence government to ensure that youth programs are implemented. The minister responsible for youth issues must be held accountable. And as well, the National Youth Development Agency must be able to operationalize, implement, and provide services to all young South Africans to help train and provide skills needed by our country. The National Youth Development Agency should also be capacitated to take responsibility in making sure that all our youth are treated equally and with respect, to ensure that programs, policies, and legislations are implemented fairly and inclusively to all youth in the country, to make sure that young people are supported financially, educationally, and emotionally. The DAU supports the establishment of the National Youth Development Agency to replace both the ineffective National Youth Commission and the uninclusive Omsobomvu Youth Fund. We have called for the disbandment of the Youth Commission previously, and this initiative is long overdue. We believe that in the past, it has not used this money effectively and indeed has wasted a lot of money on celebration functions, as has been popularly covered in the press. Our further concerns, Chairperson, if I may list them, are that the National Youth Development Agency may find itself playing many roles, for example, lobbying, advocacy, funding, implementation, and monitoring. If it plays all these roles, would it not have a conflict of interest, given the money involved to rate its activities and delivery as well? It needs to be easy to do business with the National Youth Development Agency, Chairperson, and powers must be devolved to the local level. Indeed, this was one of the key weaknesses of the Umsobomvu Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission, that to be able to engage with it and to do business with it was simply far too complex and complicated. Incompetent and incapable people in key positions will certainly render the agency as much as a failure as its predecessors. We cannot accept that. The decisions, the money, and the power need to come from national level and must be used to empower the grassroots. This is in line with the DA's vision of the Open Opportunity Society, which believes in empowering people to drive their own solutions instead of relying on the state relying on state services to address their needs. There needs to be an appointment of a board and a CEO by the president, and the CEO should be appointed by the board of directors. And there should be quarterly reports instead of annual reports to the presidency. There should further be continuous consultation with young people providing progress reports on the work of the agency, and the agency's budget should be spent on sustainable programs instead of huge salaries and, as previously mentioned celebration functions. There is further little evidence of an audit report on all government-funded and initiated activities to determine what are the gaps, challenges, lessons learnt, and best practices in the area of youth development initiatives. And we believe, in fact, as the Honourable Member said, that the Chapter 9 review report, in fact, does not cover that issue adequately. Chairperson, with your permission, I've had a look at the program today, and I'd like to withdraw the last paragraph because I am, in my personal capacity, satisfied that there is due consultation in this process. I believe that all the provincial commissions and relevant agencies have been given an opportunity to make submission to this committee, and I'm fairly happy that the process is comprehensive. Let me just summarize by again thanking you, Chairperson, for the committee and say, for the opportunity to address this committee, and by repeating that the Democratic Alliance Youth supports this initiative and congratulates the committee on it. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I guess it is everybody's right to speak your mind, even if you were to have said the process has gone the other way around. You have that right. Ladies and gentlemen, we have heard Jordan from the DA expressing his views, of course from DA, and we shall allow a few questions, if there are any, before we break. Mrs. Tobias Pokolo, Mrs. Marcus, so far, thank you. Manu Louisa, you are the last one, sorry, from Northwest. Yes.
I need to clarify that, you know, I'm being misconstrued in my presence. I said the Chapter 9 institutions report has not yet been adopted. I have not yet made my views on it. So I think I need to correct that. I never spoke about any inadequacy in that report. Chair, you know, I've got limitations because you say we must only ask questions, you know. And people who are saying things are going to leave us today and we don't clarify what they said. And in the public eye, what they say might sound like is the truth, you see. So I need you to forgive me on certain instances, really. I would want to engage. I want to first start, need to speak to this thing of transparency. You know this thing, it sounds very funny. You know, the Youth Commission called a big convention of all parties, including people who are here. And we say that there's no transparency in processes of government. It's not fair. If those people were so hard to call so many people, I think it was last year, to converge and say they want, because this thing of this legislation, 206, is what those people said in that meeting. They actually formulated the National Youth Development Strategy then. So I don't know why do we want another process to do what you did at that time. But I think they will do it again. Maybe we just want to meet all the time in one big meeting, and then we regurgitate what we have. Because the National Youth Development Strategy was born out of the National Youth Convention, which all parties, irrespective of who you are, attended. And those who are here will testify that indeed there was that big gathering. So I'm not sure what do we mean about transparency on processes, because they already unfolded. Secondly, the issue of people who are incompetent, I want us to be practical. You know, generalization sometimes is very bad. Milo Sekekana is very educated. Is he incompetent? I don't know. But appointment of people, including this one, he went to school, he's dealing with youth matters. Noblumko also went to school. What is incompetence? Maybe it should be clarified. I don't know what is incompetence. It can mean anything. But people who were appointed had a link with youth development matters in their life. Noblumko was a member of the South African Youth Council, so I don't know what competence that, including this man from Umsobov, he's also having links with these organizations. I still maintain that these institutions had limitations because of the scope of work that they needed to do, limited them. The money injected in Umsobov's fund also is not enough for them to do what you want them to achieve. And there was no coherence in programs between the Youth Commission because the mandate was different. You see, it had to lobby and monitor. There's nothing that says it needed to implement. It could pilot as many projects as it wanted, but didn't have the capacity to implement for young people. Well, I don't know how many youth we have gathered in the country, but I know they are in millions. So I don't know whether that money was enough for those millions of young people. So we needed to redirect our energies to have a structure that will have teeth to bite. The report, I'm sure that they were not reporting. It's a news story. I sat in the committee chaired by the chairperson of the Joint Monitoring Committee. They report all the time. So we shouldn't generalize. Let's be specific what is the limitation we saw. And they should continue to report. You see, the agents, you can't say you should report quarterly. All government entities report annually through their annual reports. But all their financial statements are sent to the Central Treasury every 3 months. So this one, we say it must report quarterly. It's a different institution. There should be a reason why we believe that it should report every 3 months. Because I think every 3 months, their financial statements, of course, through the Joint Budget Committee will be looked at. And we'll detect the early warning systems if there is some failure to spend accordingly, as per the mandate that you of as organizations will have to reformulate. But maybe there is a reason why this one must report differently from all government institutions, entities, parastatals, and so on. Maybe we should get that reason, Chatterson. What is the reason? Well, rather than skills, I've addressed it. That I thought these people are educated. I saw their degrees and honors and masters. I'm not sure. Inclusivity, I agree with you. You see, the ANC government believe in a racial, non-sexist and a democratic society. Therefore, I think you are correct. We need to make sure that it's inclusive. Everybody should be there. People should not be sidelined. I agree fully with you because it's a statement mission of this government to have a non-racial society and all that.
Okay. Are you okay?
Let's leave the rest, Chairperson.
Thank you. Mrs. Malpass, maybe we should also adopt here a policy that says per question we should have maximum two for now. Okay? And also the point again, we are seeking clarity. And again, we are not going to be tempted to debating. We'll take three questions and then Mr. Hill, Luce, you'll make notes and then respond accordingly. Mrs. Malchus and Mama Louise.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I'm not going to really ask just one question clarity. I'm not going to ask them the other things because we're still taking this back to the province. But my problem is just the general statements. You know, how can a person say that the Youth Commission and the fund was a failure? Because when I oversight the Eastern Cape, and there's Prince Sutin, the CEO, and one of the commissioners, and they are very professional people. You know, you actually praise them because they're so professional. They receive unqualified reports, financial statements, and therefore I'm worried when a person generalizes. Rather say there were a few problems, some, but I guess say failure. Thank you. I just want to clarify that, to say that they are on par, the Youth Commissioners. Thank you.
Mama Louise?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My question comes on the first page where it talks about rural areas which were neglected. I am from the Northwest, and I'm also the Chairperson of the Status of Women, Youth and Children. I should think we do have very effective structures in the rural area, maybe in other provinces, but from our province, I think rural areas really are very much effective and working very well. And the second one, Chairperson, is the issue of the office where they talk about offices in municipalities and mayors, where the function should be maybe visible. But maybe it will be important for them to say whether there's a need for someone to be in the premier's office, so that effectiveness should be there, and also in the municipality, not necessarily in the mayor's office, but if someone in municipality, the MMC, who should deal with such matters. Thanks.
Mr.
Hello, Lewis.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Can I deal with them in the order that I received them? I believe it is the Honourable Tokolo. Pokolo. Thank you for that. Asked about issues of transparency, incompetence, limitations on the previous things, and then the quarterly reports. Let me deal with the first two very briefly. Let me just say simply that education is not a measure of competence to do a particular job. You can have an incredibly highly educated person that simply is not fit for a particular position. A doctor of medicine, for example, is not competent to be a rugby coach. So education, frankly, is not relevant to competence to do a position. In the case of the National Youth Commission and the Umsobomvu Youth Fund, in far too many cases, competence was overlooked for patronage and connection to the ruling party. Let me just put that very bluntly. And so what we proposed and what I spoke about in my submission was that we need to get back to a focus on pure merit and competence to do the position which is up for consideration, as a separate issue from education. In terms of transparency, Chairperson, let me say that there is transparency for the sake of transparency, and then there's earnest, real transparency. Now, I attended the National Youth Convention, of which the member speaks about, and with all due respect to the organizer of that convention, I thought it was about as transparent as the Russian government. It's not very transparent at all. We didn't receive substantive reports on exactly what the organization was doing. And our opportunity to input and to influence the direction of the organization was limited at best. So again, I say you get merely routine transparency, and then you get earnest transparency. In terms of limitations, and this links with what the Honorable Malchus was saying, I concede that perhaps those organizations received unqualified audit reports, and that's excellent. That's an excellent achievement for any government department, for any government entity. But I think that there was an element of goal displacement. That you can't say because a department or government entity spent 99.5% of its budget, it was therefore successful. That's not the case. Did it meet its objectives in that expenditure? And my argument is that no, it didn't. Even though it may have had an unqualified audit report, that does not make its program successful. There was an element of goal displacement where, in my opinion, for example, the Umsobomvu Youth Fund became more where it was supposed to drive economic development among the youth and act as a venture capitalist, essentially as a venture capital fund, to drive those fresh initiatives by youth entrepreneurs. It eventually started to operate merely just as a bank, an industrial bank, that was essentially lending to either existing companies or old initiatives that in some cases weren't even driven by young South African entrepreneurs. So I think there was an element of goal displacement which is not properly represented by things like unqualified audit reports. And so there were certain limitations on it. The Honourable Pokola talks about limitations. There were certain limitations on it, but also
there was certain goal displacements which the organizations were also guilty of. In terms of quarterly reports, I'm not entirely sure of how all government entities operate, but I do know that provincial departments, for example, report quarterly to the Joint Budget Committee. The South African Reserve Bank, which is an entity of the South African government, also reports quarterly. And those are just things from the top of my head. So there is precedent for reporting quarterly to Parliament. And I think this is one of the most central and important initiatives that the South African government can undertake. We mustn't underestimate the importance of a National Youth Development Agency. As the point was correctly made, there's about 15 million youth, people formerly classified as youth in this country, and the vast majority of them are unemployed and living in conditions of poverty. So this is without question a priority, and I believe that alone merits quarterly reporting to Parliament. Then to move on to the point raised by Honourable Malchus that I generalised in saying that the previous organisations had been a failure, I measure success and failure as being a simple test of whether an organisation or an entity has met its stated objectives. And I believe that in almost every single one of those stated objectives, the National Youth Commission and Umsobumbu Youth Fund fall short. And so, in my book, that's the definition of failure. So whether we want to mollycoddle around that and try and sugarcoat it, the fact is those organizations failed to meet their stated objectives, and that is why we are supporting their disbandment and replacement. I appreciate the point, but I don't apologize for using the word failure. Then, was it the Honorable Louise? Sorry, I didn't catch the surname. Okay. Thank you very much. About rural areas. It may indeed be the case that in your particular rural areas there is a successful and active structure, but in the large part, and if we look at the expenditure breakdown of those two structures, the massive majority of their programs and funds are located in the urban centres. So that's what I meant when I spoke about an urban bias in the programs. Thank you very much, Chair.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think let us also not find ourselves here in a situation wherein we should act as if we are doing an oversight. I think we really drifting more and more in that direction. And also, I guess, you know, we're getting so much jacked up now. I hear a number of questions and answers as if we are already in an election mode here. Well, I guess, you know, as they say, youth always, you know, finds itself in the lead when it comes to some of these things. Maybe we find ourselves right in that space. And I thought also it's members of parliament alone who are allowed to slip. And then I see one of us from that other end, you know, was almost finding himself right in that situation. Maybe he is going to be a member of parliament very soon. And he's practicing already. He is indeed practicing, you know. I think we are going to engage robustly on these issues. For now, as I said, we are only taking questions that are seeking clarity. And in the absence of any, my co-chairperson here is equally very active with cyber issues here, you know. We'll have the very last question and then we'll break. The chairperson next to me is going to be taking over after break until lunchtime, and then we will do as such as we go on. Mrs. Tobias Bokola? The difficulty is that when you speak, wherever you are, the mic is not audible to whoever is listening, if you don't mind.
that wasn't for recording. I was just saying that history was made today. The DA youth says that Jacob Zuma can be the president, he doesn't need a degree. Very different from the mother book. Come to the ANC.
Ladies and gentlemen, on that note, wherein DA agrees with the president of the Youth League, Julius Malema, that you don't have to be educated to be smart. We shall now break for 15 minutes and then we come back. Time now is almost quarter past. We'll come back here at past 11. Thank you very much.
From our break, and we will continue where we left off. Is Nehau in? Nehau, the fellow is Lahapambil Buddha. And Northern Cape Youth Commission, are you here? Thank you. MYBICO, are you here? If you can come over here. Msobomvu Youth Fund, you'll also be ready. Can you also come and occupy these front rows here? Nehau. But I bet you do my other mind. So you can start to learn the line. You'll first introduce yourself and the structure you come from. Maybe soon get in the way.
More especially speaking from our
perspective where the employees are, have got more questions than answers in terms of their future vis-a-vis the new structure that is being formed, understanding very well that there are structures that are directly affected by the bill that is before the parliament. And then we are just making a submission that from now further, the process should try by all means also to deal with some of the some of the consequences that are not intended. A lot of uncertainty that the employees of the National Youth Commissions are having, and also perhaps the Umsobumbu Youth Fund. But however, we feel that what is important is for us to make contribution into the bill. We are making submission that according to the proposed bill, the appointment of the board of directors should take a form of a provincial representation at a national level, saying that we are of the view that to have a national youth development agency that is two-layered, national and provincial, will somehow delay the implementation of the programs. We will be looking or talking about the political kind of authorities that are twofold. You have got the national board of directors, you have got the provincial board of directors, which in one way or another, I think it has been the limitation of the Youth Commission at its current form. The provincial youth commission that does not necessarily account to the National Youth Commission has always been a problem sometimes in terms of implementation of some of the programs, and also taking some of the decision at a national into the provincial. So we think that the National Youth Development Agency should have the board of directors at a national, but that has got representation from various provinces, meaning that all the provinces will have a seat at the national level, and at the provincial level, then you just have the provincial offices of the very same structure. And we are also making submission that instead of the chair or the chairperson of the agency and the deputy chairpersons of the agency appointed amongst the board of directors, there be a separate process of appointment of the chairperson and the deputy chairperson, meaning that you will have a board of directors consisted of 11 members, 9 representation from the province, and the 2 members whom are chairperson and the deputy chairperson respectively. And that process of appointment of the chairperson and the deputy chairperson must be a separate process. We are also of the view that the appointment of the CEO should be done by the board of directors instead of the chairperson of the board of directors, making it possible for this accounting officer to report and to be accountable to the board in totality than to an individual in a position of a chairperson or whoever is delegated that role. So you have the CEO who is reporting to the board, appointed by the board and reporting to the board of directors. So another, maybe the fourth submission is the provincial board, which I think effectively our submission on the appointment of the board dissolve this provincial board to say we don't feel that there is a need for us to have the provincial board based on the reasons outlined above, to say we don't want this structure to become another youth commission in a different form. We need the structure that is national, but that has got the provincial offices and the regional offices. But the decisions in terms of what needs to be done in the whole country has to be taken at a national level. So you then have structures at provincial and local government only focusing on the implementation of the decisions that are taken at a national. So you don't have nine different strategic authorities in the nine different provinces. I think that is in a nutshell what we are submitting to the committee, with the hope that it is few critical things that we think it can change the shape of this structure and thereby make it a very active institution as opposed or contrary to what we see at the current scenario. Thank you.
Siyabonga, but Kenneth, but don't move, just wait. Members will direct questions to you. Can you take Northern Cape as commission?
Well, thank you, Chairperson. I thought the colleague would take longer so that I get the English in order before we proceed, because I'm from a province where we don't usually speak English. But I'm also from a region where I can't attempt to speak Afrikaans, Chair, because I will confuse the Honorable Combrink. I think he's out for now. He'll know what I'm talking about. Chair, I think the Northern Cape Youth Commission really appreciates the opportunity to be able to present its views to this particular committee. In our view, the work that the committee is doing now is a culmination of a process that started in 2005 already, with particular decisions taken, but also a process within the youth commissions themselves that actually looked at, as part of the 10-year review process, or based on the outcomes of the 10-year review process and some of the challenges and so on that was identified, that actually looked at how do we reconfigure the youth development landscape in the country and so on. And I think to an extent we are getting to the culmination, as I said, of that particular process that was indeed quite inclusive and included a wide-ranging consultative element. We will not focus on some of the issues that I think have been raised already. I think we would want to get immediately into some of the aspects of the legislation, because I think issues around the challenges that confronted both the commissions and Umsobomvu Youth Fund has been repeated over and over again, and I think there's general consensus on the need, in our view, for a national youth development agency. Some of the guiding principles that I think we just need to reiterate again, starting with the unitary structure, what is called one seamless national institution for youth development, and I think that should underpin the whole focus of the legislation. We are further saying that generally the legislation must contain clear provisions for enforcement of comprehensive and integrated youth development implementation across all spheres of government, and that should come out clearly. There should also be clearly defined roles for different levels of the proposed structure, with a presence at all levels of government, including district level government, which is not currently covered in the report. There is a gap in our view. Horizontal and vertical mainstreaming of youth development across all spheres, again, the private sector and civil society, should be a key focus area, with the NYDA or proposed NYDA being the apex of these particular processes. We are further saying that the proposed structure should have a targeted approach to program and project implementation, with the example being, for instance, making sure that at a clearly defining the roles of different spheres, and in a way making sure that the actual program implementation happens at the local level, at the district and local level, and that young people have access to services of this new structure in that way. In terms of the specific sections of the bill, in terms of section 2, which deals with the establishment of the agency, I must say firstly that I think we generally concur with the thrust and direction that the bill is taking.
taking. And we would just like to highlight some other areas that I think we have come out of our own processes. We are saying under establishment of the agency, there should be a clear statement that the agency should operate at the national, provincial, district and local level to clearly make that particular point. In terms of Section 3, the objects of the National Youth Development Agency, it is our view that those objects may lead to some sense of misinterpretation and confusion, and that actually under objects you would be able to summarize the functions or the objects of this particular structure under those six headings, which is research, the design and implementation of civic and education programs in pursuance of social cohesion, economic development and empowerment, information dissemination, coordination, monitoring and evaluation. In terms of principles of youth development, it's our view that the existing content elaborated in Section 4 could constitute with some refinement the substance of a proper preamble to be developed for the legislation that would actually set the context and historical basis for this particular piece of legislation. It does not just arrive from somewhere. It has a particular history and context. And that the existing text should be substituted with the principles as outlined in the draft national youth policy, basically because, one, it has gone through an extensive consultative process, but also I think in our view it represents what we are aspiring to with regards to integrated youth development in this country. We are saying Section 5, the functions of the president in relation to the process of gazetting the policy and the integrated youth development strategy, that we are recommending that the president shall do that in consultation with the NYDA as the key government structure with regards to youth development. Section 6, the functions of NDA, we wish to highlight what we think is some level of conflation on the issue of these reports that are spoken about. In our own view, there should be a distinction between the annual report, which was explained earlier, I think by Honorable Pokolo, around the compliance issues, the PFMA requirements and so on, and the State of the Youth report, which in our case is a much more substantive, in our view, is a much more substantive report that actually would reflect on the progress that we are making as a country across all spheres with regards to youth development generally, and there should be a differentiation so that the annual report of the institution does not ultimately become that, and that we actually do justice to State of the Youth report. Section 7 speaks to the integrated youth development strategy, and we are saying that the national youth policy, once adopted, should actually take precedence over an integrated youth development strategy, basically because strategy derives from policy in our understanding, and that basically the policy statement of government would guide all of us, and even the integrated youth development strategy that will have to be implemented. Possibly we should further state and clarify the interrelation between the national youth policy and IYDS. I think the existing legislation speaks to quite, or tends to be confusing in some areas, because it speaks about essentially three things. It speaks about a youth policy, integrated national youth policy, then it speaks about an integrated youth development strategy, and at the point it also raises an integrated youth development plan. And I think in our own view, the national youth policy and integrated youth development strategy and its connectedness should actually be highlighted and clarified. Sections 8 to 13 deals essentially with the governance structure being the board. And we are deviating from the proposal from the bill, in the sense that we, in line with what we have said at the very beginning, the unitary nature of the structure that is proposed, that there should be one national governance structure, and that we actually do away with this notion of provincial boards. I think the colleague who presented previously actually made the point. I think it will not deal with the challenges that we have had with regards to ensuring uniformity of approach from one single center. And we are proposing that it should be constituted of no more than 15 directors, of which 6 being appointed from national by the president, and 1 from each province appointed by the president, again based on the recommendations of the NA in the case of the national appointments, and then the premiers respectively in terms of the provincial representation. The CEO should form part of the board as an executive director. In our view, it will enhance accountability in that way. and that all other directors should be non-executive appointed for a period of 3 years. I think also that we discussed, it's not necessarily on the document, but we discussed this system of I don't know what to call it in proper English, but where you do not have a case where all board members, to ensure continuity of the structure, that all board members the term should actually lapse at all at once, and in that way ensuring continuity. All directors, including the provincial rep, should have voting rights and have full participation rights at the level of the board, and not as is currently reflected. We concur that the appointment of the CEO should be a function of the board and not by the president, and that the legislation must also reflect that the CFO is the accounting officer in terms of the provisions of the PFMA. Section 16, which basically speaks to the appointment of staff, we are saying that it should state that the CEO, in consultation with the board, appoints such staff as may be necessary to fulfill the functions of the NYDA, again across all spheres, and that there is no need for differentiation necessarily in our view between management and other staff. The legislation before us speaks about the appointment of executive managers as a separate issue, and then it deals with other staff at another level in section 16. And then also that the questions around remuneration, allowances and benefits also be determined by the board and not the president as is currently reflected. Section 20, just to reiterate again, our view is that provincial boards should be removed and that our proposal under section 9 stands, and that the provision of a uniform, seamless and integrated youth development function must be located at national level with provincial, district and local chapters of this one national institution within clearly defined functional areas and parameters. Accordingly, then, we are also of the view that local coordinators should be taken out of the legislation, the provision on that section 21, and that we just need to highlight again the need to have both district and local level representation of the structure. It is our understanding, Chair, that in terms of transitional provisions, that there is that the transitional provisions here should attempt to provide a broad framework. But there is a guideline in the form of a framework adopted by Cabinet that actually guides the establishment of national public entities, and that should actually then become the framework that is actually used when the process is started in earnest. But we are saying in terms of transitional arrangements, although the question of provincial legislation is the responsibility of provincial legislatures, but we do not think it's a problem for this particular act in terms of transitional arrangements to make a statement around which institutions will be incorporated into the new structure. The provincial process will go on. Appointment of a provisional chief executive officer to oversee the transition, which we think is quite important, so that you get a sense that there is a center starting to develop at the level of this new structure. The transfer of staff to the agency subject to existing legislation and protocols, and then the assets, liabilities and funds, which is reflected and so on. But we are just raising the question of, for instance, the issue of the loan books of Umsobomu, I see Mr. Gekane, Chair. Look, it's a very simple, I'm not a lawyer, but in our understanding, for instance, there may just be complexities around that particular process. So how are those issues actually adequately dealt with in terms of the process that we are proposing? Because Umsobomu is classified as a business, government business enterprise. The NYC is classified as a national public entity, Schedule 3A. Umsobomu, I think, is 3B. And I think the process of merger will have quite a range of complexities and so on. But we're also saying that framework is there, Chair, to actually look at that particular process, and it provides a good framework and guide with regards to how to proceed. I just raised the issue under general recommendations now, the legal status and so on, and it's something that I think we should be aware of. In terms of the budget process, and we were not necessarily sure where to slot in these issues in terms of the legislation, but we thought we must flag them to highlight our views with regards to this. We are saying there should be greater National Assembly and NYDA involvement in the budget process itself, and there should be some kind of a direct link between the NYDA and Treasury in terms of direct interaction, which was not the case with the previous structures. NYDA to function as a separate vote under the presidency, which I think would also allow for greater accountability, but also greater influence in terms of its budget, the budget process. In terms of oversight, that there should be a separation of accountability role of the parliamentary process and oversight in terms of the scope of portfolio committee system. But then also, I think one of the key challenges that we have identified is that when substantive issues are brought before the attention of the various structures in Parliament, it does not necessarily get the necessary attention, in our view, that it should receive. And in that way, there should be a mechanism to ensure that that particular element is actually highlighted. The role definition, again, it's our view that there shouldn't be a cut-and-paste approach or wholesale approach to how the structure operates. There should be space for, in terms of its structure and so on, for provincial variations and dynamics and so on. But also, it's our view that the structure should be heavy at the bottom, basically, and that you should look at local-level implementation and making sure that those functions are actually located at the district and local level. Examples, for instance, the proposed youth fund, the information provision, youth sector capacity building, and so on. We're also saying in terms of interaction between the agency and the youth sector that possibly in the legislation we must make it mandatory that there's a mechanism that either looks under functions of the agency or as a new section deals with a triannual youth summit for both reporting as well as mandate seeking with the State of the Youth report at the center. It is our proposal the State of the Youth report should actually be a three-year report, because in our view, if you have a yearly State of the Youth report in the manner that we think the State of the Youth report should be made up, it will not actually do justice. You need space and time to actually make sure that you are able to put in place mechanisms and systems to track progress in that regard. Chair, in conclusion, it's important to just acknowledge that the NYDA in itself will not be replacing the role of government, private sector, civil society, basically with regards to youth development. And in our view, this legislation should clearly set that out so that we do not as the unintended consequence of ghettoizing youth development in this particular process. It is also our view as the Northern Cape Youth Commission Chair that this has been a long and drawn-out process and that it needs urgent conclusion to manage the transition and to ensure that we do not interrupt, we have uninterrupted services and so on, and find a way of managing the process so that we are able to continue delivering the services that we are delivering to young people. And then just from the Northern Cape, because we cannot speak on behalf of other provinces, we would have wished to, Chair. But as the Northern Cape, in our own view and through our interaction with young people, this new structure and the proposed new structure has general broad support, and there's quite high expectations. And I think that it's incumbent upon all of us to make sure that we're able to conclude this process with the necessary urgency that it deserves. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bezerinout from Northern Cape. Can we allow members to ask any clarification question? Members of the committee? Sure. Can you please note, both Nehao and Northern Cape?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've got only three questions to ask, seeking for clarity. And these questions basically is with regard to what the National Youth, the Northern Cape Youth Commission has just indicated with regard to the objects of the National Youth Development Agency, saying that it is confusing the people. So I just want to know how is it confusing people, because they are stated very clear, and what is that the people maybe will be confused of, because this is quite very clear. I just need clarity from that. And
They are also against provincial boards. They are saying the provincial boards must not be included. And then I also wanted to know why. Why are they against these provincial boards? What is the problem with the provincial boards? Because they were also saying that the board must be acting proactively with regard to election of or appointment of the CEO. So I just also want a clarification with regard to that. And also that the other one is with regard to look, they've also indicated that they would prefer to have local coordinators in the National Development Agency. But they didn't indicate where specifically is this local coordinators going to be located. They talked of district and they also talked of municipalities, but within those institutions, they didn't actually point exactly where are those people going to function from. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Member Chuansa.
Thank you, Chair. Just have one question that I'm interested in on the presentation by the Northern Cape Youth Commission. You are proposing that this be, whilst it is a public entity, but we must have it as a Schedule 3A of as one of those entities. Now, just going through 3A of our PMFA, it talks largely about public entities, in my view, that are very much of a regulatory type entities, as opposed to your Schedule 3B, which are more of your government business enterprises. In that instance, are you then proposing that there be a regulatory, because this is bringing together two functions, if you like. One function that is going to be talking advocacy and those kinds of things. Another function that is also going to be talking the actual implementation. Now, I'm seeking clarity on your proposition for a Schedule 3A insofar as the public entity is concerned.
Honourable Member.
I'm here, my friend. Thank you. I just want to question now on the rationale of why only a national board. When we look at South Africa as a unitary state, and then Chapter 3 speaks to cooperative governance, and then we still have our intergovernmental relations framework, you know, everything that we'd like to filter in. So, you know, I just don't know what's your rationale of having just a provincial body, and we need to strengthen provincial, our provinces and local government. Thank you.
Now, your responses.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks for the question. I think the question was already raised by the previous speaker and addressed to both of us. But because we made mention of the very same point, so we stressed the very same point, two of us, I think it then becomes relevant for us to respond. But from Nihau's point of view is that we are sitting here with a national challenge and which I think needs national approach. It is an undisputable fact that we have got a challenge in terms of, in as far as youth development is concerned, and we have seen that to have different approach in terms of provincial, it might not assist. We are coming from that structure where we have got different leadership at different provinces, without necessarily having a clear indication as to how these different provincial structures
come together at a national, well, one can say that Intergovernmental Relations Act framework and other mechanisms of government should have been used to bring that kind of coherence, but that seemed not to have worked. Now we are talking about the structure that is supposed to do the implementation of programs. We are talking about the National Youth Development Agency. In my understanding, or in the understanding of DIHAO, is that we are not talking about the structure that has to be replicated in various provinces, but you have the structure that has got provincial offices, the structure that has got local offices. We don't want planning to take place at a provincial level, strategic planning to take place at a provincial level. We need strategic planning to take place at one central level, and then we need implementation to begin to take place at a provincial level. So simply is that we don't want a lot of paperwork, if one can say. So we don't want a situation where the national structure is planning and it has to go down and convince a particular province to take whatever decision has been taken at a national level. We want the decision to take place at a national level and that decision to be communicated at a provincial level. We understand that provinces are unique. They are faced with their unique challenges. So, but those provincial offices will be responsible for ensuring that those uniqueness is also reflected in terms of implementation of the programs that are strategically planned at a national level. So we are afraid to have a situation where we have got the provincial boards, which to us is another power. So you have a very heavy structure that unfortunately will spend time convincing each other that this is the decision that has to be taken. That is our approach, but I think also the Northern Cape share the same sentiments. I think they've got their own interpretation about that. Thanks.
Menier Pezirinut from Northcap.
No, thanks, Chef. I think Annelies said somewhat continuing. But continuing from I think what my colleague was saying here next to me, I think that part of that I concur with, and that is precisely the reason why we are saying that there is no need to actually duplicate these governance structures. Because part of our experience of the last few years has been that we have not been able to really get that uniformity of approach across all spheres. And part of the problem was the fact that youth commissions derive their existence from different levels in provinces, from provincial legislatures and nationally from parliament. But then also, I think the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act that is there is quite, in my own view, still in its infancy phases. You know, and there's quite a lot of work that still has to happen with regards to that. I think we have confidence in the framework that the legislation sets, but the reality of the matter is, if you look at some of the challenges, for instance, at the level of education as a department, of health as a department, when there's supposed to be coherence in terms of the strategic direction, and you get differences of interpretation at the level of provinces and so on. Some of these things that we have been continuously raising at various platforms and so on, we think that the establishment and existence of one single strategic center would allow for that national uniformity and coherence in terms of strategic direction to be there. So that is why we do not support the notion of provincial boards. Also, as it is currently outlined in the Act, we are of the opinion that these functions can actually be implemented and can happen through bureaucracy, through actual functionaries that are put in place to actually do the work and implement the program of the agency. Also, our understanding is that it will be clearly defined at different levels what it is that a province would do in relation to the work of the agency. For instance, it would be clearly defined what a district, the role of a district would be. It's our understanding, again, Chair, that districts are quite critical in the context of, for instance, the district growth and development strategies that are there, the implementation of the National Spatial Development Framework. and all the work that is going on with regards to the planning system of government. And it's quite imperative that we have a representation at that particular level. We were raising the issue, Chair, on the issue of the objects. For instance, to use one example, Chair, that the question of, for instance, E, under that, under 3E, we were debating and discussing the issue of let me take B, the issue of coordination. We ultimately agreed that it should be form part of the functions, but there was a very strong view, for instance, around whether an agency of government, in our own understanding or conceptualization of what an agency should be, actually would have the authority and proper mandate to actually coordinate. Because agencies, by its very nature, using similar experiences, have very narrow mandates and focus. And in that way, what would be its powers in relation to other structures of government in terms of coordination? Exactly the problem that the National Youth Commission experienced and so on. But then also words like the initiate, chair, the facilitate and so on. We are saying that all these things can actually be summarized into those core objects. And they are not anything different from what is here. We are just saying that make it much more concise and clear, so that it actually speaks to the core functions, and we would be able to actually derive our mandate without any confusion from that particular section. We are saying that the CEO must be appointed by the board chair because it will enhance accountability at that particular level, and that he should be an executive director with full participation at the level of the board, because I think that is part of the, again, of the system that is currently used. In terms of local representation, which I think was the last issue, we are convinced here that we need both representation of the structure, at both a district and a local level. But the practicality of how that happens would be also guided by, you know, the reality of what the merger of these two institutions would mean. Say, for instance, the reality is that Umsobomvu Youth Fund has a variety of youth advisory centers that are existing and so on. It's our understanding that these things will not necessarily disappear now. So do you locate now a youth development office at the level of the municipality? Do you locate him? Those are some of the practical things that we will have to discuss. But I think at the principle, from a principle point of view, it is our understanding that they should be there with clearly defined roles and mandates. So the Schedule 3A, I think it's actually a mistake. It should be 3B. That should be the proposal, not 3A. And in that way, I agree with the notion of the regulatory side on the regulatory character of structures on the side of 3A and so on. I think the point that we wanted to bring across here is the current differences in terms of the classification and so on, and that the new structure, we need to take into account, for instance, the reality of the business enterprise element that is still there, because the youth fund is going nowhere. It's just there in another, as a sub-program of a bigger structure. And how do we make sure that is still retained in terms of the new corporate form of the agency? But then also the issue that we have raised around the existing processes that was there under Umsobomvu. How do we make sure that those things are not lost in the process? But I apologize for that mistake. It's a typo, Chair. It should be 3B. That is a business enterprise. Although the other issue is also there in terms of some of the other programs and so on. How do you balance that in terms of the proper corporate form that it should have as a structure? Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we now take Mzansi Youth Business? Is it still Freddy Mutupe? Okay, go ahead. Press the mic.
Thank you, Chair. I think firstly I need to introduce my vehicle quickly to say that my vehicle is vision-driven and goal-oriented. And what I mean is that our vision, we envision South African youth businesses running the country economy and being leaders, global leaders. And our goal is that that South Africa should be, we envision South Africa.
Okay, let me just, can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Okay, perfect. That and our goal is that South Africa, we envision South Africa in the year 2030 to be declared an international leader, a developed country, a third world country in an African context and leadership style. Okay. So I'm saying that our goal, we envision South Africa in the year 2030 to be declared an international leader, a developed country, a first world country in an African context and leadership style, with an economic growth of 20%. Okay. And this is what had inspired us in responding particularly to this agency. I would want us to go to page 6 of my document. And I have already done the vision and the goal. And point 2, I'll be coming to the true reality example. Point 3, to the problems of the parliament, the problems that the parliament, the agents, and youth in general may encounter going further based on the bill itself, how it's structured. Point 4, the proposed integrated development and empowerment strategy model. And the last point, the proposed bill amendments. Because at that point, we'll be all agreeing with me. Yes. Our submission supports the establishment of this agent, but would like to propose a more user-friendly and yet effective and efficient model that supports integrated development, youth development. Now I'm coming to point 2, the question. Before I come to the question, I'd like to also acknowledge the effort and hard work that has been put on this bill. And we are here to try and amend it and shape it towards that goal. My question to the chair, firstly, particularly to the example, it's an example, but it's also a question, firstly. Why do you think young people are getting to be pregnant at an early age? Or infected at an early age? That's my question. Just four ways, roughly. Okay, fine. I think the reason why they get pregnant at that early age is because of we are using a one size fits all strategy in South Africa, particularly on youth issues. For example, I've got condoms here. And if you look at these condoms, they are all one size. Yes? So young people at an early age, others are well developed and others are not well developed. And if you imagine a 14-year-old or 15-year-old having sex with this condom, will he be able to use the condom? No. Yes. So the bill is structured as a one-size-fits-all. And now I'd like to move into the third point. Actually, the idea is that to show that the bill is structured as a one-size-fits-all. Okay. Let me just quickly move in. The problem that the parliament and the agency and the youth in general may encounter are as follows. Can you go back to page 5 of the document? And in there, we are saying that, you know, the UMSOBOM we have, it's got 8 directors. National Youth Commission has got 5 commissioners. And when you merge them, which you are requesting to merge, and both of them had failed. We all agree they have failed. Okay? Bismarck, or you can say nicely, but they failed. the bill is proposing seven people, seven directors, which is far less than when you merge the two directors. And that is a problem. And I mean, the seven directors will be in charge to cater for about 17 million young people. Seven directors. Okay. The National Youth Commission and the Provincial Youth Commission, they have failed because of the Provincial Youth Commission had its own act, which was not aligned to the National Youth Commission. The institution that is being requested here, it's more to modernize this entity into six units, which is a havoc and a weapon of mass destruction, particularly mass poor delivery, you know. And it is requested that they only meet once. I mean, I'm coming from an entrepreneur perspective. If I'm starting a business and I have to meet once with my partners for that business at board level or whatever strategic level it might be, doesn't make sense at all. The business will never grow up. The agency has the agency has the power to develop its own strategy, and that's what the bill says. And the bill has overlooked the problems that we as some people are facing, particularly on the PMF versus V, the conflict between the PMF versus V, the professional PPA. Limiting and cutting external funds from provincial and municipal. What we mean there is that if you are saying that we should disband or eliminate or, okay. Yeah, quick.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Better. Yeah, if you're saying that we should disband, or just eradicate the provincial youth commissions, we are also limiting our funds that we normally would be getting from the provincial commissions in one way or another. The process of repealing or repealing the National Youth Commission, there's a process that we'll have to embark on repealing the National Youth Commission, the provincial, and amending the Demutualization Levy Act, which is not included, particularly on the bill itself. The state would have to write off more than 500 million that has been used to finance the advancement of all these entities, from provincials to youth commission to Msobom itself. There will be legal costs and obviously cancellation of agreements entered with the business that has created more than 300,000 employment just by this measure. And obviously the state will have to then invest about 100 to 500 on the new brand again, you know, and that money they should be given to us and advancing young people, particularly in need issues. This will need, obviously the measure also will need sophisticated systems, meaning they'll have to run SEPs and so on, and therefore there's going to be continuous training and costs incurred, ridiculous costs that are going to be incurred because of this octopus system that we're trying to come up, or one size fits all. And obviously, again, as we know, that the retrenchment cost, there's going to be the retrenchment cost of young people employed by Umsobomvu and the National Youth Commission, and also maybe somehow by the Provincial Youth Commissions. And this will definitely deepen the poverty and unemployment, particularly, and also affect the crime and increase the crime that we are at. And these are the problems and what we foresee that might happen. And these are what is there. And then we move to, then I'll move to the, can we move then to page, to the diagram? There's a diagram there. I think we all agree that this is a havoc. I mean, one size fits all, octopus strategy does not work. There's a proposal that we're bringing on the table. You know, we are not saying that we are supporting the National Youth Development Agency. But how we structure it is very important. Some of us are not going to be used forever. But we need to structure it in such a manner that a young person, when he comes in, can easily plug in into the system and advance the system. Some of us, we might be called that we are counter-revolution. Well, I might say, yes, call me a counter-revolution. But what I am an evolving, revolving revolutionary.
You
strategy. We've got what we call planning, implementation, control, evaluation, and monitoring. And this can apply from the president going down. What we are suggesting here, we are suggesting that rather than merging the two, let us relocate National Youth Commission Umsobunku under the National Youth Commission, under the National Youth Development Agency. And this is what we're proposing. We're proposing direct interventions on young people's issues, direct interventions. We are saying that there are other entities and institutions that still need to be established. And we are saying that the National Youth Development Agent, if you look on the diagram on the left, it can account both also on Parliament and the Treasury. But if you look also on the left, that as South Africans, we are part of global. We are part of international, we are part of SADC. I mean, you know, for example, in Congo, they're using young people as soldiers. And what that is our, we should intervene as young people. But NDA should also be part of that process. I mean, not NDA, NYDA. And we know for the fact that there was a National Youth Convention that is there. And we are saying that that National Convention should be, always be there as a platform of developing and emphasizing or reviewing the strategy and so on of the National Youth Development. And that's where also the National Youth Development Agency should also account to. But underneath, we are saying that, you know, we could have institutions such as YEDA, you know, youth in training, and I mean, youth education and training authority, which will assist in intervening on CDAD and making sure that young people definitely benefit and also make follow-up on certain things. We could have youth special programs. And, for example, we saw xenophobia. We need institutions that will have direct interventions immediately, quickly. Now we are going to the elections. We need those institutions to come in and particularly focus on that. Underneath, we've got the business that are also part of the integral system itself. We are saying that the Provincial Youth Commission should get to be Provincial Youth Commission. And now align them. We've never aligned them. Let's align them first. If they fail, then we can say, yes, we need to recall them, if one might say. But we also have the business and the civil society and so on. And the business, they've got what we call charters, and we have not tapered, captured or benefited particularly or utilized those charters to our fullest potential as young people. Hence, the Youth Commission was not able to even lobby for 1% stake for young people on BEE deals. That's how bad we are. We all agree that this is a proposal, and a very powerful proposal under the National Youth Development Agent. You see, we must not try to remain in the youth, but we should be able to create a platform where they can be able to exercise and control and modify and build this country to what we have said, the goal, the 2030 goal. Then, because of the agreement, and I believe the House should agree, and we must agree, and it is important that we agree. As we agree, then we can move to the areas where we can amend this bill. And we are saying that, then we can go back to page one now. You see, the idea of naming these pages along, I wanted to see that you exactly follow where I'm going. Yes. Under the bill, we are saying that the agency should not just only to coordinate, but to betterment the lives of young people. And the issue of repeal, meaning, you know, cancelling or recalling this Provincial Youth Commission, we should amend. Let's amend this act. And that this agency should be able to create institutions that may focus direct on issues of young people. Well, I think on the definition, we could all be able to look and just peruse. But because of time, I'd like to go to page two. And we'd like to add on the clause to say that there should be a clause that says, under the objective of the agency, clause three, we'd like to add an initial point that proposes that there should be established institutions coordinate and centralize institutions of youth. And that should be one of the roles of
some young people want to be developed from the age of 14 to the age of 35. And we can't do that. If we want to be a progressive country, somewhere we need to empower. And we need to always play with the two of them. Clause 5, we then propose also that there should be an informal, under clause 4, we add that youth development initiative must endeavor to recognize and address the particular needs of rural youth. But we are saying that some of us are living in the ghettos, so there are informal settlements. And we should address those needs. And also under service areas. I mean, I'm saying if it is a township in, Eastern Cape. There's a small township. I mean, it's not a rural, but it's a township. You know, but it is underserviced. So are you saying it's a township, man. And the clause 5, we are emphasizing that the president must. It is not the mayor that these issues must be gazetted. Today he wakes up and says, no, I decided not to gather this. It must be a must. Functions under clause 6, we are adding that we are replacing the word units with institutions. And on the diagram itself, we are saying that these institutions will have chairmen, and the chairmen will sit on the NDA as ex-officials, you know, of these direct intervention institutions. Nevertheless, if we go down, we are saying the policy and research and development, that is the role of the National Youth Commission. Even though the National Youth Commission has failed to do the implementation, not the implementation, but the monitoring of implementation of policies by government, it has failed to do that. But the bill also overlooks that. They know the issue of monitoring and monitoring of policies, we should know. On the issue of Umsobumf, if we change the name, I think this thing overlooking the name.
Yes, Kananda.
Yes.
What which is so humble, so extra time. Yes.
Oh,
5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
So 15 minutes after period, man, you get ready.
Think the issue of Umsobumf changing the name. Why must we change the name? What is relevant to that? I mean, that money, last time we wanted to make a partnership with an institution in Hong Kong, as youth in business. And the response we got was that, no, we've got a partnership with Umsobumf. It means that Umsobumf is a brand already and it has been marketed. So changing that money, changing that logo or that brand, then we are taking us back. But nevertheless, on the issue of number 4, I think one of the most critical points is that they say they should report once. We are saying that they should report twice. There should be a provincial statutory report, and there should be a statutory report. You can't just report once to the president. If there are problems and there are issues, then what? You have to wait until the next year to verify that. So we need a progress report, and that is a provisional report. But also what is important, we are proposing that 50, the directors should be 15 of directors, not 7. I mean, if you merge the two, you should at least say 13. I mean, 5 plus 7 is 13. If my math is still correct, it's correct. Okay. But also we are proposing that, you see, we know for a fact that in any institutions, there has been character assassinations and dealing with people. And it is important that the issue of board, you see, the bill is not clear or to say if you want to be removed from the board, that the board can just recommend. We are saying that 2/3 of the board should recommend, not the chairman. On the issue of meetings, the bill says that they should meet 4 times. We are saying, no way. These are issues of young people. This board should work 12 times a year. Every month they should meet, because this is that we can amend it later when the process is high safe flow. But at initial startup pace or at a startup, we need stability. Yeah. So tolerance is important. Lastly, well, I think under interaction, I think maybe the others are just repeating themselves, but under interaction, it is also decided that the National Youth Commission and Umsobomvu Youth Fund should, I think, those who were at the National Convention, you see, we young people, we might not be good in words, but what we say, we might want something to say, man, these two must, they must come together. And maybe we might have used the wrong word by saying match. Maybe we should have said they should be reallocated or, you know, or reintegrated in the National Youth Development. At least we should have said that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I noticed when in your introduction, when you were talking about the one size fits all, many men were blushing. You showed us the condom and you assumed all of them they are the same size. All of them blushing. They were too embarrassed. That's exposing them. But in any case, we'll allow members, if they have any questions, they will. I hope they have noted them, because I want to take Umsobomvu so that then when we ask questions, it will be more of redirecting our questions to two people. Like, or maybe Silengai, because Umsobomvu will be giving us. Yeah, let's direct questions to Mzansi, young people. So I can see that Chris Rock in making. Hannes will be number one. Member Tobias will be number two. Member Verma, number three. In that order. He's still blushing, you see?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I just want to know, in the point of view from the presenter, that in one part of his presentation, he's saying Umsobomvu Youth Fund is failing. On the other hand, he said it's creating 300,000 jobs. Now, can you just explain to me, did it fail or did it not fail? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Member Okolo.
Chair, I just realized that I'm growing old. So when I was listening to the temperament of youth that I used to have many years ago, I heard it today. Then I realized that I'm growing old. This young man was lifting up my excitement a little bit. He's very strong. Yeah. And he brought some fresh air to Parliament. He brought a condom. At least we have some visual exercises. Yeah. And as a feminist, I now know that men doesn't all fit in one lajet. They need different ones. Maybe a suggestion to the Portfolio Committee on Health to look at this matter. So we need to make those young people happy, all of them, big and small and all that. Yeah, so I now know all these chaps here, they are different sizes today. My first question, Chair, will be, the gentleman says that the National Youth Act is not aligned to the National Youth Commission. So I don't know, the Act is not aligned to the Commission. I do not understand what it means. It might mean, I don't know, it might mean something. So I need clarity. What does that mean? The meeting of boards, maybe we will need a proposal from him. He said it must meet every month, the board. Well, I thought the board give guidance to the staff. So if it meets every month, maybe there are specific issues that you believe are of importance to people set every month. We'll need to give more feedback on that, what you mean. On the issue of funds, you said that it will be forfeited, and you referred to the Demutualization Act. In this context, it doesn't apply. So maybe person, because our legal advisors are here, they will want to share some more information to explain further to what is this agency in this context, because it's not like the National Youth Agency. I mean, it's not like the National Development Agency, the NDA, if we had to repeal two organizations, they will have the demutualization act will have to apply. So I think the legal advisors might want to share more information as to what is the context of this act, to assist everybody to understand what we mean. He also spoke about a need for sophisticated systems for the measure. I would want you to unpack what you mean by that. What are the sophisticated systems that we need in place? And if he also referred to the cost implication in this context, what does he mean? So I want you to unpack it more. If you think that there is cost implication, because in the act we say there will not be cost implication, so maybe you should clarify us what you mean by that, and how it will the measure of Usobom Youth Fund and the Youth Commission will give rise to high crime rates and poverty, because that's what you said. How will the measure create that? Maybe there is, and you said you are proposing a structure, but the structure as it stands is quite similar to what we are going to do. So, and you said that there isn't special programs officers. Well, I was one of them. I think I did indicate they are still there in the whole country. It's not a question, but it's to clarify you that there is indeed special programs officers in all government departments in the country. On the alignment of provincial youth commissions, I do not understand what do you mean by that. If you can also give more clarity as to what do you mean by alignment in this context, and the National Youth the Usobom Fund being a brand of its own. I can imagine how many government institutions and parastatals were known abroad and everywhere else, but having to change name and mandate, there's a transitional arrangement. Maybe because this is an act of parliament, we do not put detail into law. If I don't know whether maybe you're a lawyer, if you are, you should know that you do not put such detail. But all the transitional arrangements will be captured by policy. Ourselves, we did raise that we should take that into consideration. How are we going to deal with the transitional arrangements of both the institutions, including what you dealt with about staff complements that need to be taken into consideration. Yeah. Well, you also recommend that 15 board of directors. Maybe there is a reason why there should be so many, if you can shed light. Because to me it will sound like we're creating jobs for people. Maybe there is a reason. There is a very important reason why you believe it should be this big. I was listening to the gentleman from the HAU who was saying that it will be very heavy. Now, so let's maybe there is a reason why we should have so many people. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Indeed, I'm saying I was, the NCYC doesn't woke me up a little bit.
Raleboha, he jump-started you, and the one thing he did not mention, the issue of femidom. I'm not sure if they also answer it or. Member Nivo.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm looking at the presentation itself, but I'd like to ask just one question regarding the one size fits all. I think I find it a little bit sad if you find it a laughable matter if the youth are getting HIV/AIDS and it's linked to the one size fits all issue. I'm hoping that you are also telling the department that it's the one size fits all issue does not fit the youth issues. I sit on Senate, and if that's the message that we want to send that to the UCA, it's a serious matter that one size fits all, because these are issues that affect the lives, millions of the lives of our young people. I also would like to add on what Chairperson is saying, that the youth, the female youth, the femidem, one size does not fit all either for women as well. And I take offense to this matter. It doesn't go well with us. For me, this is not something that is laughable. Even if it mean it in itself in the bill, it's not something that one needs to joke about with such a serious issue happening out there and affecting our youth out there. So that's an issue that I take this exception to. Thank you, Chair.
And that
Maybe firstly, I'd like to apologize if I put it in a very hard way, but that is reality. So I'll apologize, but that is reality. To say that a young person who's 14 or 15, others are developed, others are not developed, and it's a fact. I'm saying even 15, even 20, even 30, but it is a fact. So, we like it or not, we need to have various types or sizes, small, medium, large, extra large, super large, in one pack. And I apologize. But moving further.
Yeah, and it was also trying to reorganize some presenters here. So I'm sure he was not talking to us alone. He's also talking to all of us.
Yeah. Yes, Chair. I'm just trying to. You see, when you're in Parliament, we need to relate to reality and outside. We just need to relate. I mean, that house from my street, there's a child who's 16 years who's pregnant. And his boyfriend is 16 years old also. And what is it? What was the cause? It contributed.
Babu Mutupe. Can you respond to questions
yes,
that were directed to you?
Yes, I continue. Yep. Let me continue. Gopal, can I address them haphazardly? Randomly. Like randomly, not haphazardly, but randomly. Can I do that?
I get in the process, you won't motivate. You respond.
Yes, I respond. Yes. On the issue of 300 jobs, to say, has Nsubuntu is the failure, or what do I regard that? The job that we're talking about is not only Nsubuntu, but it's a collective of these structures also. And hence I'm saying that when there's a measure, all contracts assist, and it's a fact. Others, I know business, for example, when they want something from government, they'll pledge for a 5-year term or whatever and say, we are pledging on Wisdom Sobumbu because of 1-2-3. And there's that locking period of investing and funding. But when there's a measure within 2 years or so, then they're able to withdraw their funds easily. And other things. But I'm just saying that it's collective. Madam Chief, on the issue of National Youth Act and let me just click up on Hanyan. So, with regard to say why am I saying that there might be a rise of unemployment and poverty? It is a fact that we should all agree that the ANC is a ruling party. And what the ANC says goes. And I am saying this view because of concrete Malema. On the 26th of October, he publicly said to young people who are working for the structures to start looking for jobs. The same articulation he said is a guarantee now that it's going to happen. If it hasn't, happened to the president. Young people are employed, simple. So we are basing this fact on that. And if we are not doing calculated cost, then it's going to damage us. And that is on the issue of deepening poverty and unemployment of young people. And it can be found articulated in such statements. And this is our government. On the issue of the system, sophisticated systems, you are making two entities. Actually, it's not two, man. You see, the bill is also confused. It blesses us. It's not two. It is the National Youth Commission, it is Umhlobongo, and it is the Provincial Youth Commission. So it's not two. So when you merge this, it means that you're going to have to have a one huge system, a sub-system that has to create, which means this agency is going to create more than 5,000 jobs or 20,000 jobs or 7,000 jobs going down up to local municipalities. And that needs to be managed thoroughly to the last. So what type of system are we talking about here? Definitely not system from the back door or SME systems. You need a huge Oracle subsystem. That is very expensive on designing, on implementation also. And on the issue of why, on the issue of name change, that we have seen it changing, I'm saying that yes, I agree that government has continuously changed names. I agree, but I mean we are hardly 10 years in the democracy. I think it's hardly, is it 10 years, 6 years, somewhere there. And it's what we are proud to call national youth development. To us as young people, you say national youth development, you say Umhlobongo, don't include cost on it. If it's not my eye, that's fine, change it. But if it includes cost, then hey, bring that money here. There are young people who are living in shacks and that they need to lose money. I'm a young entrepreneur, I once got a deal, and I needed only 20 rand extra, and I couldn't deliver. So I bring it here.
The international community, and we're
seen it with Mr. Bumbu, we have seen it with National Youth Commission. But sometimes they don't even meet because they are all outside. They've been invited, all of them. We've seen it. And it's a fact. And they're trying to be everywhere all the time to please everyone. Parliament invites them. They should be here. So why seven? I mean, that money of changing the name should be re-transferred or refocused in terms of paying the seven. If it's five, if that's what you just want, it's fine.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Lastly, let's see. What is the other one?
Sokusele, 1 minute.
Isha Bakan again. With respect to the alignment of Provincial Youth Commission and National Youth Commission, some of us, we are young people who are activists, and we engage and we come up with programs of delivery to young people. And we're talking from experience here, where you find that we'll go to the Provincial Commission, Youth Commission, and the Provincial Youth Commission would have its own engine and its own things. And let's say, for example, we had a program that we wanted on youth in construction, because we've got affiliates also. And when we engaged the National Youth Commission, the National Commission said, but you see, that program will be in Gauteng. But they say, okay, fine, it will be in Gauteng, but we'd like you to be part of it. And they'll say, you know what? We can't tell, we can't do nothing, we can't even suggest, because our act and their act are totally different, and they're not interlinked. So we can't cascade information to them as a part of as an instruction or so on. But all I'm saying is that we need to align them, and we need to make sure that we set up a platform where, as I grow old, that my children are able to plug into, my grandchildren are able to plug and advance it. As I said earlier on, that yes, you may say that I'm a counter-revolutionary, and I agree that I am a counter-revolutionary, because of each and every revolution, for every revolution there's a new birth of a revolution. And those who are stuck in the old revolution, when they see a new revolution, they'll say that that revolution is counter-revolutionary. Hence I said that I'm an evolving revolutionarist. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You have a follow-up question, Member Mark?
I still didn't hear that apology, because the chairperson of the Joint Monitoring Committee, felt offended with what he said, and I feel offended too, and we as women feel offended. So he didn't apologize. He gave conditions with his apology. We are all adults sitting here. Thank you.
Kembo, when you are apologizing, you must be simple and straightforward and apologize.
All right. Mama.
But also, the microphone, everybody. But also, let's also apologize to people who were actually offended by statements that were actually attacked. You know, we understand that there are also older people. Remember, members of parliament are not just young like you, Mtubeng. There are also older people. And some issues also become sensitive. Of course, we can joke about them, but nothing is sort of, you know, being down. But you find sometimes you also need to be sensitive towards other people. We hope also from the chairperson's point of view that we also apologize if we have offended any members, or if we have offended any person when those statements are actually uttered. We'll now break for lunch. So we will come in after lunch, and the rest of the, I hope you have the program. There are people who are actually also coming after lunch, Uneliswa will go to them to check if they are here, and then immediately after lunch we'll indicate to you who are the people who are here. Let's thank you for the first session of the program. And hopingly we'll see you after lunch. I'm sure it will be a graveyard shift, but so vuleli aircon ga cool so that then you won't sleep. And we'll continue with the engagements as we we've done in the morning. 2 o'clock, we will reconvene, and let's see you at 2 o'clock. Thank you very much.